Oh, our loving God and Father, we thank you that we can gather tonight to sing songs of praise for the Saviour that you sent. Lord, we are so grateful that you loved us and that you sent Christ into this world to rescue us from our sins. Tonight, Lord, as we come to a time of thinking upon the Christmas message, I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive the truth. That, Lord, you would speak to us from the Scripture, that we would gain an understanding of who you are, and that we would worship Jesus for who he is. Lord, be with me as I speak. May you give me utterance. May you give me the liberty of the Spirit to declare what I ought to declare. And may I make much of Jesus. We pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, when it comes to Christmas, there are many things that people enjoy. I saw recently a survey where a person went around with a microphone in their hand going, "Tell me what you like about Christmas." Now, many people would list things such as Christmas for them is a time of family and friends all coming together for a great feast. That seems to be a reoccurring theme. Friends and food. Everyone seems to like those things at Christmas. Friends, family, loved ones coming around, and lots of good food. But for me, I think one of my favourite thing at Christmas is actually the fact that the carols are being sung everywhere. Now, I've got a confession to make here. I absolutely hate shopping. And the other night, I got forced to the shops in the lead up to Christmas to finalise Christmas shopping. But the only thing that made it bearable was the fact that there was Christmas carols playing over the loudspeakers. It was truly wonderful to hear Christmas carols, some of the songs that we have sung tonight, being played in the shopping centres. But as I thought about those Christmas carols that were being played, I began to wonder how many people actually stop to think about the words that we sing. I mean, Christmas carols have become so familiar to us. We can sing them on autopilot. We can just stand up and start singing Silent Night, O Holy Night, and not really think about the words. If I was to give you a well-known Christmas carol or Christmas song, chances are, even if you didn't know the lyrics, you could hum the tune. They've become familiar to us. But have you ever stopped to actually think about what the carols say? Have you ever pondered what the words of the Christmas songs are all about? Now, there's one Christmas song that I freely admit I think is a bit crazy. And that's the song, The 12 Days of Christmas. Have you ever thought about the lyrics in that song? I mean, just think about it for a moment. Here is a song about a true love giving presents to a loved one. That's fair enough. True loves give presents all the time. But what sort of presents do they give? I mean, think about it. A partridge in a pear tree. What a horrible gift. Yet we sing this Christmas carol about these presents given, and we don't actually think much about what the gifts are. You know, that song was written in 1780, so maybe they were good gifts back then. But today, if your true love gave those sort of presents to you, chances are they wouldn't be your true love much longer. I mean, picture it if you will. Christmas morning, you rush down to the Christmas tree. And as you get to the Christmas tree, you are greeted with 10 lords a-leaping. 10 blokes jumping around your lounge room on Christmas morning. It's not exactly a good Christmas present. You look around your house and you see 9 ladies dancing, 8 maids a-milking, 7 swans a-swimming, and also that partridge in that pear tree. I mean, what sort of Christmas presents are they? They're all quite dodgy when you think about it, except for the 5 golden rings. They'll be okay. But apart from that, everything seems a bit strange. I mean, what are you supposed to do with those sort of gifts? I mean, you can't, you know, thank the person for 4 calling birds, put them aside and gift wrap them next year and give them to someone else. You can't re-gift them. What do you do with these kind of presents? Now, chances are you won't get any of the gifts listed in that song, and I sincerely hope that you have a great Christmas and don't get any of those gifts. But chances are you will get given a present that you'll have to politely smile about and say, "Thank you very much." But inwardly, you're thinking, "What am I going to do with this? What's the purpose of this gift?" There's not a Christmas that goes by that I don't get a present like that. One that you open up and you go, "Wow, that's not what I expected. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. I don't know where I'm going to put it." But we've got to be thankful. And you know what? When it comes to Christmas, sometimes Christians and sometimes churches can be guilty of giving a present that causes people to say, "What am I supposed to do with it?" You know, at Christmas, it's very easy for Christians to fall into the routine of saying, "Jesus is the reason for the season," or Jesus is the gift of Christmas, all of which are true. But most people will often sit back and go, so what? Why do we need the gift of Jesus? What's the purpose of Jesus being given as a gift for us? On Christmas morning, many churches throughout this land will stand up and say the greatest gift ever has been given to humanity, the gift of Jesus Christ. But the question we should ask is, why do we need him? Why do we need the gift of Jesus? Well, that's a very important question that we answer. The greatest gift has been given, Jesus himself. So why do we need him? Well, to answer that question, we need to look at what the angels said to the shepherd at the first Christmas. In the verses that were just read to us, we see the answer to why we need Jesus, the gift of Christmas. Let me set the scene for you. Imagine 2,000 years ago, you're outside of the little town of Bethlehem on one holy and silent night. And as the shepherds watch their flock by that night, an angel of the Lord appears in the sky and brings an announcement to them. One minute, they're watching their sheep. Everything is fine and normal. The next minute, an angel appears. And instantly, the Bible tells us these shepherds were afraid. Rightly so. I'd be terrified. So they're watching their sheep. They're doing their work. An angel appears and says, guess what? I have a message for you, a message of great joy that will be for all people. The angel says, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. In that text, from what the angel says, we can find out why we need the gift of Christmas. The angel says the gift will do something to the world. The gift of Jesus will transform and change everything. The gift of Jesus, we are told, will bring great joy to all people. Now that tells us something wonderful. It tells us that Christmas is not just something that was confined to Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. The message of Jesus is not just confined to a Middle Eastern culture or indeed to a white Western culture. No, the message of Jesus, we are told, is great joy for all people. It doesn't matter where you are from, it doesn't matter your background, it doesn't matter your culture, the message of Christ is for you. The gift of Christmas was given for all people. That is why the world over, people will stop on Christmas Day to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Yet why did he come? Why did Jesus come to this earth? Why is he the gift of Christmas? Why do you need Jesus Christ? Well, the angel tells us, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. Why do we need the gift of Christmas? Why do we need Jesus? Well, the angel says it's because he is the Saviour. Now that tells us something straight away. To say that Jesus is the Saviour that is great joy for all people, implies that all people everywhere are in need of a Saviour. If everything was fine and dandy with you, if everything was wonderful and all was good, you wouldn't need a rescuer. You wouldn't need a Saviour to come. Yet the Bible says here that Jesus has become the Saviour for all nations, for all people groups. Jesus is the Saviour to all. But why do we need this Saviour? Well, the text tells us that there's actually something inside each and every one of us that we need to be rescued from. A Saviour rescues. So what does Jesus rescue people from? Well, in Matthew 1:21, we get a very clear answer. In Matthew 1:21, we read an account of the angel coming to Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus, and saying these words. He says, she, that is Mary, will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. There's the answer to why we need the gift of Christmas. There's the answer to why we need Jesus. There's the answer to why Christ was given. He has been given as the Saviour to save us from our sins. You see, the Bible says we've all sinned and we've all done wrong. Every single person in the world has done wrong. We've all rebelled against the God who gives us life. We rebel against the God who created us. God made us. God loves us. He created us to know him and to serve him. But we thumb our noses at him and do our own thing. We choose to rebel against God from the youngest to the oldest. I mean, think about it. It is normal and natural for humans to go towards that which is wrong. I have two children. And something I've noticed with my two children is this. They're experts at being naughty. They're brilliant at it. If there was a PhD in naughtiness, they'd get it. They're brilliant at it. It's natural for them. They seem just to gravitate, especially my son, gravitate towards wrongdoing and mischief. We don't have to teach children to be naughty. It comes naturally to them. We have to teach them to be good. And you know what? We're just children that grow up. We naturally bend towards sin. We naturally bend towards that which is wrong. It's normal for us to desire to do that which is wrong. We naturally don't want to serve God. We want to be the masters of our own destiny. We want to be the captain of our own soul. This is why we need the Savior. Because we can't be the captain of our own soul. We can't be the masters of our own destiny. We were made by God and for God. Yet we sin against him. We all sin against our Creator. That is why we need the Savior. That is why we need Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, to come and to rescue us from our sins. Now, you may hear that and say, I don't agree. I don't agree that mankind is bad. I don't agree that we are naturally sinful. But for a moment, let me challenge you. Just think for but a moment. God demands perfection. Are you perfect? I know I certainly am not. If you don't believe me, ask my wife. She will tell you very quickly that I'm far from perfect. But God says, be perfect as he is perfect. Be holy as God is holy. Yet God's up here, and our standards are way down here. For instance, the holy God says, do not lie. Yet we tell lies. The God who is perfect says, do not steal, but we steal. God says we should love him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. He is to be number one in our life. Yet we don't always serve God like that. In fact, the Bible says there's none who seek after God, no, not one. You know, as we think back through our life, we can see that we're far from perfect. We've all done wrong. We have all sinned. I should be stressed at this moment that sin is not something that we should take lightly. Sin is not something that we should laugh at. It has a deadly consequence. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, and the soul who sins it shall die. We die physically because of our sin. We are dead spiritually, separated from God because of our sin. And the ultimate consequence for our sin is death and hell. This is bad news for us. We must be punished for our wrongdoing. How is this the message of great joy that the angel talks about? Death, sin, hell, this isn't good news, this is bad news, yet the Bible says Christmas is about great joy. What makes this bad news become good news is the fact that the Savior has come to rescue us. This is why we celebrate at Christmas. This is why we sing songs like Hark the Herald Angels Sing that declare that it's all about God and sinners being reconciled. It's all about that Christ was born that man no more may die. That's what Christmas is about. That's why we can say joy to the world. The Lord has come. The Savior has stepped into the darkness. He stepped into our world, a world that we have corrupted. He comes to us and says, I will be the rescuer. I will be the Savior. I will come to save my people from their sins. You see, the message of Christmas is a message of great joy because it says we no longer have to be separated from God. The message of Christmas is a message of great joy because it says the Savior has come to rescue us. He's come to this earth to save us, the very people who rebelled against him. You see, Christmas really is just the beginning of the story. It's where it all starts. But this Jesus who was born at Bethlehem didn't stay as a babe in a manger. Rather, he lived and he grew and he was perfect in thought, word, and deed. He never sinned once. And this Savior came with a specific purpose in mind, and that was to lay down his life for the sins of his people. You see, our sin said we should die, we should face consequence. But Jesus, in love, went to the cross and was nailed to the cross for the sins of his people. In love, he took the punishment we deserve. And 3 days later, Christ arose again from the dead. And now he says, you can have the great joy of sins forgiven. Now you can have newness of life. Now you can have heaven when you die. Now you can have the gift of Christmas, Jesus Christ himself. This is why it is great joy. Our sins can be removed. Our sins can be done away with. The Christ of the cradle is the Christ of the cross. He comes into this world to save us. This is why we can say this is great joy for all people. Jesus did this in an act of love. I mean, picture it like this. Let me illustrate what Christ has done. Imagine you've committed a massive offense. You've broken the law. And you're hauled before the court. You're hauled before a magistrate. The crime you've committed is so serious that the judge looks at you. And he says, because of your crime, I am going to implement the death penalty. And you say, well, Your Honor, hang on just one moment. The death penalty, I don't want to die. I've done good deeds. I've done good works. I've given to charity. Surely that must mean something. And the judge says, no, it means nothing. You've broken the law. The death sentence has been proclaimed upon you. You must die for your crime. But just as the judge is about to pass sentence upon you, a man walks into the courtroom, an innocent man. He walks up to the judge and says, Your Honor, I have something I must say. You see that man over there? You see that woman over there? They don't know me, but I know them. And I love them. And I'm prepared to pay their fine. The judge would probably step back and say, sir, you are aware that this person's about to be executed. The man says, yes, I know that, but I'm prepared to die in their place. The judge brings his gavel down. The innocent man is taken out and he's executed for the crime of another. That criminal can then go free, not because of what he has done, but because someone else paid the fine. And that is what Jesus did for his people. Our sin separated us from God. Our sin said we should die. But Jesus walks into the courtroom. Jesus walks into this world. He comes as a babe born in Bethlehem. He goes to the cross and he dies in the place of sinners. And now we can go free because of what Jesus has done. This should make us truly thankful. This should make us love Jesus. This should give us great joy. Because our works can't remove our sin, but Jesus can remove our sin, no matter what we've done. So how do we respond to this gift of Christmas? How do we respond to Jesus? We've heard that we've sinned. We've heard that Jesus has been given as a Saviour. But how do we respond to that? Well, when the shepherds heard the angel say, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. When they heard the angel declare that, the shepherds packed up shop. They left their sheep in the field. They rushed to Bethlehem. They found Christ and they worshipped him. They had the right response to hearing of Jesus. They came and they worshipped. And that is to be our response to the gift of Christmas. When we hear of Jesus and what he has done, we should come to him in total surrender, repenting of our sins, turning from our sins, and trusting that it's only by his death, burial, and resurrection that we can be forgiven. And when we come to Jesus, we should fall down and say, Christ, you alone are worthy. Forgive me. I want to serve you all the days of my life. The shepherds worshiped Jesus and they glorified God, and that is how we should respond to the gift of Christmas. We should worship Christ. We should surrender to him. We must repent and embrace Christ by faith. The question for you this evening is this. This Christmas time, have you received the gift of Christmas? Have you received the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you come to the one who brings great joy? Can you say that you have the joy of sins forgiven? Can you say with absolute confidence that you are Christ and Christ is yours? Can you say that you know him and that you will go to heaven when you die? The gift of Christmas this very night is extended to you. Jesus offers out his hand and says, take and receive the gift. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Would you take that gift this very evening? The message of great joy is, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. Would you come to that Saviour? Let's pray. Oh, our loving God and Father, we thank you that you are so kind towards us. That, Lord, you loved us, the unlovely. You loved us, the ones who sinned against you. And that, Lord, you stepped into this darkness to rescue us from all our sin. Lord, tonight, those of us who have received the gift of Christmas, may we gaze upon Christ once again and may we love him. May we worship him constantly. But Lord, for those tonight who do not know you, for those who have yet to trust in the Saviour, this night, Father, would you pursue them? Would you grant them repentance and faith? And Father, would you draw them to the Son? Oh Lord, may they come to Jesus, the gift of Christmas, this season, and may they experience the great joy of sins forgiven. We pray all these things for Jesus' sake. Amen.